Environmental News Radio Program with Janice Kane. In this week's environmental news headlines, the treaty that more than 100 nations unanimously adopted late last month, restricting shipments of hazardous waste across borders, requires waste exporters to receive consent from receiving countries before shipping waste. It also requires that the receiving countries discard the wastes safely. Critics charge that loopholes could allow abuses to continue under the pretense of legality. The United States has yet to sign the treaty. Within our U.S. borders, a new EPA study shows that air pollution is worse than expected. The EPA survey received last month demonstrates that toxic emissions by industry exceed its expectations nationwide and pose a higher health risk than previously believed. In response to the survey, a group of senators plan to introduce strict regulations by amending the cumbersome Clean Air Act. In Marion County, Oregon, at least 13 people were arrested in a peaceful demonstration blocking the cutting of old-growth timber. The protesters were arrested because they built a 3-foot-high rock wall across the road, which prevented logging. About 20 loggers joined the demonstrators around their bonfire until the authorities arrived. And last month, a bill was introduced in Congress requiring all new constructions to install water-saving toilets. The toilets, which use only 1.6 gallons per flush, exist already throughout most of Europe. Toilets in the United States use between 3.5 and 7 gallons per flush and constitute a hefty 30 to 40% of daily household water use. Massachusetts now requires the toilets as part of its building code. New York City has a toilet bill up before its council, and Los Angeles will institute a code requiring the toilets this summer. Much talked about and misunderstood by the public are the ramifications of the greenhouse effect, or global warming. Global warming is the warming of the atmosphere due to solar heat energy trapped by greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide. It has been keeping the planet warm and assisting life for millions of years. Recent concerns among scientists and world leaders are a result of human contributions through a growing use of coal and other fossil fuels, as well as worldwide deforestation. Glacial core samples have shown marked increases in the carbon dioxide content of the atmosphere, which began during the Industrial Revolution when coal burning practices became popular. Since then, the ratio of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere has continued to rise. These additional amounts of gases are likely to be enough to change our climate balance dramatically. Dr. Michael Schlesinger is a climate modeler at Oregon State University and one of the nation's leading experts at tackling the problem of trying to predict the future climate patterns. Among other projects Dr. Schlesinger is working on is a joint report on global warming with the Soviet Union, as per the request by Mikhail Gorbachev and former President Ronald Reagan in 1988. We asked Dr. Schlesinger to remark on humankind's alterations of the atmosphere.
Well, there are uncertainties in all the aspects of this issue. We have the observational record, which goes back about 130 years, of the temperature of the Earth. That record has shown us a warming of about 1 degree Fahrenheit across the 130 years. Our most recent calculations show that the result of doubling the CO2 concentration also is an 8 degree Fahrenheit warming of the planet. It's not uniform over the surface of the planet. It increases towards the polar region in the hemisphere which is experiencing winter. Warmings in those regions have been calculated as large as about 36 degrees Fahrenheit, an enormous warming. So it looks like the climate of the future will be warmer. It'll be a warming as large as from an ice age to an interglacial, but not on a time scale of 10,000 years, but more like 100 years. And unlike that past warming, which was natural, this one is being caused by us. There is nothing virtually that is not sensitive to climate, although We tend to think maybe that we're somewhat insulated from climate because of the relatively short span of our lives and our technology, but we saw just last summer with the drought, which is not caused by greenhouse effect, that the production of corn in the Midwest, for example, went down 30%. That's the kind of impact which occurs now to an extreme event. A drought is a naturally occurring phenomenon in an unchanging climate, as are floods. And we see that our system is so highly tuned to the climate, in the case of agricultural production, that when this naturally occurring extreme event occurs, that has had an immense impact on American agriculture.
Dr. Schlesinger also commented on what we as nations and individuals can do about the climate problems we are probably creating.
And in fact, it's for you, the younger generation, to get involved, because this is where you're going to live. It's your planet and the planet of your children. People of the next century will look at the climatic record and they'll say, if we're correct, that the climate has changed, that it's due to the greenhouse gases, but we're unable to do anything about it. And why didn't those people at the end of the 20th century, when they had the opportunity, do something about it? Of course, we're here at the end of the 20th century looking forward with uncertainty, and so we're not really quite sure whether we should do anything. If we knew for sure that the climate was going to change, if we didn't change our ways, we would change our ways, but we're not all that sure. So it's a question of making a decision in the face of uncertainty, and we're now taking on the right approach, I think, to begin to explore this for all areas of human life, like power production and agriculture and water availability. Energy conservation and energy efficiency is perhaps the most cost-effective way of reducing the fossil fuel emissions of carbon dioxide to the Earth's atmosphere. About 15 or so years ago, we started on an energy efficiency program in the Carter administration after the oil embargo in 1973. But like most of our efforts, they were a stopgap. We did something intensely for a few years. The problem appeared to mitigate. The price of oil went down. The availability went up. People didn't have to stand in queues at the gas station to get gasoline. And so we sort of backed off. So what people can do now is to work on increasing the efficiency. And I think the people who produce power will again make that economically attractive, as was done in the 1970s, to weatherize, for example, to drive automobiles which get 100 miles to the gallon. There are many, many things that we can do. Not only do we have to work as a nation to reduce our use of fossil fuels by energy conservation, we need to help others to do that as well. One way to help others do that is not to be portrayed as do as I say, not as I do, but do as I do. And so increasing our efficiency and conservation of our use of fossil fuels is the first step to America leading the way for the rest of the world to follow.
Dr. Michael Schlesinger, climate modeler at Oregon State University. Here are a few events you might be interested in attending. On the 14th and the 15th, don't miss the Symposium for Northwest Citizens in the Olympic Room at the Seattle Center, entitled Hanford Cleanup. What exactly is it all about? With a look at military defense, nuclear, and hazardous waste. Presented by the University of Washington Institute for Environmental Studies. For further details, call 524-1387. Don't miss any of the events planned for the Earth Day Festival here at the University of Washington, formerly titled A Sustainable Future. The Earth Day gathering will feature keynote speakers from an assortment of grassroots environmental organizations, music, artisans, and films. For further details on the Earth Day celebration, April 21st and the 22nd at the University of Washington, call 524-1398. And the Marine Sanctuary Rally is happening this coming Friday night, April 7th at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Mountaineers Club, 300 3rd Avenue West in Seattle. Call 284-6310 for further details. Today's program on global warming was written by Tom Baer, news and events by Charlotte Schubert and Janice Kane, and produced by Jean-Paul Bardou. Earth on the Air is produced by volunteers who are concerned about the environment. If you have questions, suggestions, concerns, or would like to volunteer, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Earth on the Air in care of KCMU, Seattle, Washington, 98195.